The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, August 4th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 in the world, and it's got to be my niece Hannah's birthday. Happy birthday, Hannah. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. We have got a jam-packed show for you, full of live entertainment. This is going to be so much fun. We got a full studio, all sorts of guests joining us. But before we get to all that, let's introduce the crew. Joining me to my right, taking care of everything, twisting the knobs and pushing the buttons, the lovely, the talented Ganja John.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you for delaying that while I pressed a bunch of buttons.
That's because we're professionals, eh?
Yeah, professionals. It's jelly.
Also joining us in the studio, we got a full studio audience hanging. Of course, Wiz Khalico is with us. I don't know if you'll be able to even see him on the cam out there. There he is. Yeah, Wiz Khalico out on the couches. We got Damon with his back to us. And joining us back in the Pacific Northwest, Peg Leg is in the house today. That is so cool to
have. What's up, everybody? Yo, yo, yo.
We're going to be talking to Peg Leg here in our daily Toker Tune segment at 20 after the hour, because it is Groovin' Thursday and nobody can get a groove on like Peg Leg. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. I'm going to try not to fangirl out or anything, but I'm super excited that Peg Leg's in the studio.
Yeah, it's going to be great. He's going to tell us what's going on in his life and give us a little bit of live tune. So this
that's
be a lot
what
of fun.
You said. I'm so excited.
Yes. So Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. What do we got in the news today?
I got to tell you, I'm sneaking a whole bunch of stories in today. I don't typically do stories on bus because there's so many of them. But anybody over 70 gets busted, it sort of catches my eye. I'll tell you all about that. Also, we're going to go to Ohio for an update on the activists in that state reaching towards medical marijuana. We're going to go to Oklahoma to get a statement from the governor. A terrible horror story about the dangers of K2. And we're going to go to Pennsylvania, where a couple is in some serious trouble for what they were selling at the county fair.
All right. We get all that news right after this first break. Then at 20 after, we got Groovin' Thursday, Daily Toker Tunes with Peg Leg live in the studio. Then after that, probably around 40, 45 after, we'll go down to Southern California with Terry Joyce. She's got Eric Matuzik back on the line with us. More updates in the Starbuds Collective prosecution. Lots of twists and turns in this one that you'll need to know about. And toward the end there, or maybe an hour or two, I'm not sure, but we'll get to talk about Colorado's Amendment 40 that was recently filed. That would depenalize marijuana in the state of Colorado while still leaving it a criminal offense. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, and I'll tell you all about it later on in the show. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live. We're back right after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. This year, the Drugstar's office has a $60 million budget for advertising their Reefer Madness propaganda. We here at Normal don't have that kind of money, but we've got two weapons for fighting back. Your donations and the truth. Please, make a donation to Normal so we can continue to expand this podcast and our other media campaigns. Even a donation of $4.20 can help. Visit us on the web at normml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L. Thank you for caring and sharing.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
All right, first up, we've got two stories out of Ohio. The first one, a 71-year-old man has bonded himself out of jail in Ohio after being caught with what court records are calling $1 million worth of marijuana. Leon Endicott had nothing to say to reporters as he left the Lancaster jail this morning and reportedly got into a waiting Mercedes. A tip called into the Fairfield County Sheriff's Office led the Street Crimes Reduction and Apprehensive Program team to investigate a possible marijuana grow operation at Endicott's address yesterday. Sheriff Phelan of the Fairfield County Sheriff's Office said they were called out to search the property and found a large, sophisticated grow operation that was located inside a barn and in semi-trailers located on his property. More than $135,000 worth of growing equipment was seized, along with 300 high-quality marijuana plants with an estimated street value of $1 million. Not a million and five, just $1 million. If convicted, the 71-year-old could be sentenced to 10 years and given a $20,000 fine, but the sheriff states that there may be more charges coming to the man, though, as the investigation continues.
It just seems so absurd, doesn't it? You can take a 71-year-old guy and put him behind bars for 10 years, you know, to rehabilitate him so that, you know, when he gets out at age 81, he might be able to make something out of himself. Jesus, God. And with what seniors have to go through as far as, you know, living on fixed incomes or, you know, can't work, all these terrible situations, the cost of their medications, et cetera, man, I've always thought that your AARP card should be your legal marijuana card, right? You hit 50 years old, you get your AARP card, marijuana's legal for you. All right, we have age limit. Hey, it's a start, right? We got 18 for cigarettes and 21 for alcohol. We got 25 to be in the House of Representatives, 30 to be in the Senate, 35 to be president. After that, what do you got to look forward to? Let's make 50 years old the national legal age. Anybody gets caught, you know, busted, growing, whatever, we leave them alone, let them live their lives.
And we told you earlier this week that activists in Ohio are working to get a ballot measure in their state to let the voters decide on allowing medical marijuana. The group needed at least 1,000 valid signatures to push the measure on to the next step, which is getting those signatures validated, then passing a legal review, and then collecting 385,245 more signatures. The Ohio Coalition for Medical Compassion submitted 2,143 signatures this week in hopes of getting the process started. But today, Attorney General Mike DeWine said that out of the 2,143 signatures turned in, just barely over 500 of them were able to meet validity requirements. The measure is called the Ohio Alternative Treatment Amendment and is designed not just to make medical marijuana allowable by law, but to actually amend their state constitution to make it a constitutional right to seek medical marijuana as a treatment option for a qualifying condition. The measure would have decriminalized marijuana possession, delivery, and cultivation when used for medical reasons and set standards for patient possession. Tanya Davis, a Dayton, Ohio resident and Normal member, turned in the first batch of signatures to DeWine. She said that she is hoping that the ballot measure will force the state's legislators to stand up and do what's right. The group will now have just a few more weeks to meet the 1,000 signature mark and continue on the path that will hopefully lead to a spot on the November 2012 ballot. We wish them well.
Yeah, we do. But wow, 23% validity rate's pretty low. Usually when we're looking for signature gathering, you look to get about twice the number of signatures, figuring that you will probably get around a 50 to 60% validity rate. And I'm a little even more worried about this in that this is just the first set of signatures you get just to be allowed to get on the ballot, to start getting signatures, right? This is the pre-signatures, if you will. And you only need 1,000 of them, right? So, boy, to get 2,100 and not be able to come up with 1,000 valid ones, I think points out a need for education and training amongst the petitioners. A lot of times these petitions get rejected, say, because the person who's circulating them makes some paperwork or mistake, doesn't follow a particular regulation in turning that paper in, and then all 10 of the names on that paper get disqualified. So that's some of the ways these things can go awry. So it's very important, activists, if we're going to get this done, let's make sure that we do it the right way.
We have reported on the unjust cannabis laws in the state of Oklahoma, where so much as a marijuana brownie has a potential life in prison charge attached to it, with the overwhelmingly supported House Bill 1798. Now, it passed with a House vote of 75-18 and a Senate vote of 44-2 to make any kind of hash production, like a keef screen, or any kind of cooked cannabis product, like a pan of Alice B. Toklas brownies, a felony, worthy of a $50,000 fine with 2 years to life in prison. We have told you also about the Oklahoma mother who was sentenced to 10 years in prison and away from her children over selling $9 worth of marijuana to a coworker. So it should be no surprise to you that Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon is not going to be an ally for activists in the state who are exploring their options of getting medical marijuana legalized in Oklahoma. Today, in an online town hall forum, she stated very clearly that she is firmly opposed to legalizing marijuana for medical reasons or otherwise. Governor Fallon says she has personally analyzed hundreds of pardon and parole requests that she gets each month, and by her own estimate, 90% of those in the system are struggling with substance abuse. She then goes on to theorize that many of those began with smoking marijuana. The online forum this morning was hosted by the Oklahoma Republican Party, and Governor Fallon took questions that were posted on the state's GOP Facebook page. Like many online forums, town hall meetings, and question sessions, dozens of questions for the governor were about legalizing marijuana, allowing for the medical use of marijuana, and exploring revenue possibilities from legal sales of cannabis. Earlier this year, a relatively strict bill to allow medical marijuana in the state for qualifying patients to have up to just an ounce of medical cannabis was never even granted a hearing. Bummer.
Yeah. Psst. Hey, Governor Fallon, ask those prisoners whether they ever drank alcohol before they smoked pot. Bet you find some interesting statistics there, too. God, I hate hearing about this kind of stuff. You know, just absolutely closed-minded to the whole idea here, wanting to set up the most restrictive state, breaking up families, destroying people's lives over something that in California would be recognized as a legal medical right, or at worst, a fine, a citation, like a traffic ticket. It amazes me sometimes that, all these states in America are supposed to be in the same country, right? With the same citizens deserving of the same rights. And yet Oklahoma, the governor here, is willing to destroy people's lives over this. It's just sad.
There you go. Another sad victim of synthetic marijuana. A healthy 13-year-old Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania boy is facing serious health issues after smoking K2. He went to his parents saying that he was having trouble breathing and might be having a heart attack. He complained of not being able to feel his hands and legs, and then he began vomiting and had a high fever. So his parents took him to a hospital, and his illness became suddenly dangerous as he suffered two collapsed lungs. When they took pictures of his lungs, you could see large burns. The doctors performed tests but could not find the cause of the burns, and after questioning the eighth grader, he said that he had been smoking marijuana right before he fell ill. He told his parents where they could find the marijuana in his room, but it wasn't marijuana. Brandon Rice was smoking spice, and he was smoking it out of a Pez dispenser. The doctors say that the inhaled plastic had as much to do with the burnt lungs as the synthetic chemicals in the spice mixture that may have aided the chemical reaction. The child is now unable to speak, is in intensive care, and they're hoping that he can heal quick enough to qualify for a lung transplant. Rice bought the substance by himself from a gas station. The products widely known as synthetic marijuana are labeled as potpourri and not for human consumption, although it is known that they are only sold for that purpose. Sad.
Yeah, that's a terrible story. This guy having to get a lung, you know, two lung transplants. That's tough to come by. And again, this is a controversial thing that I'm going to say here, but it seems odd to me in our society that if we understand that kids are going to experiment, it's going to happen. We're never going to fully stop kids or teenagers from trying these things, at least some of them, a few of them. Now, we can educate them. We can try to convince them not to. We can tell them what a bad idea it is. But it should be postulated here that no matter what we do, there will be some kids that use some sort of drug. So what do? We make the safest one so hard to get and so forbidden that they will turn to something that is a synthetic that's sprayed on a bunch of crap herbs. And when we're talking about spraying these JWH chemicals, these synthetic cannabinoids that have never really fully been tested in humans, the difference in dosage here is so they can't really keep track of the metering of the dosage when they're spraying this stuff. And God knows what else they're spraying it with. So it's just insane to me that if we know kids are going to do this, that we set up a system that means we're guaranteed to have worse drugs and worse outcomes for the kids that do make the mistake of trying them. This is why we so desperately need to end this prohibition on marijuana, end this prohibition on drugs, and deal with it rationally and try to reduce some of the harms that are inevitable.
All right, I'm just now putting these last two stories together. That last story about the kid smoking out of a Pez dispenser from Pennsylvania. Here's another one from Pennsylvania. Two people are facing serious drug charges after they have been accused of openly selling marijuana pipes and bongs at a southwestern Pennsylvania county fair. A drug task force detective accuses 33-year-old Stephen Krug and 24-year-old Maria Zelick, both ironically from Freedom, Pennsylvania, of selling the drug paraphernalia out in the open. County Task Force Detective Ryan Reese says that the two rented a booth at the Fayette County Fair where they displayed a water bong, just one, dozens of glass and wooden pipes, a digital scale, and what the court papers refer to as other drug-related products. Now, there was a sign displayed prominently in the booth space that said all the products sold were for tobacco use only. Detective Reese encountered the couple at the venue and asked them directly, "When did you ever see anybody smoke tobacco out of a water bong?" He then went on to question the couple about why a tobacco user would use a digital scale. Now, both Krug and Zelick were arrested at the fair, and they are charged with possession, conspiracy, and possession with intent to deliver drug paraphernalia. The court records at this time do not list any attorneys for the couple who were charged on Tuesday. Let's hope that they at least get a good lawyer soon.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is one of the bad states as far as being caught selling anything that resembles paraphernalia. And it seems so odd. There's another, drug war travesty, another strange bit of logic that's involved in banning something that someone might use to do something illegal. Right. It's like when you really break these things down, you're getting to the level of thought crimes here. Right. Here's a guy selling a piece of glass with a hole in it. Right. And the reason you're busting him is because you believe he's selling that to someone who will then take it and use an illicit substance illegally to consume. Right. And that is a tool of the consumption. You make this presumption that the person buying that is going to commit a crime. It's like Minority Report. It's the Department of Pre-Crime here. We haven't actually caught the guy using the pipe with marijuana in it. But since that could happen, and that seems to be what this is designed for, then we're going to bust you for selling the thing. Right. Could be art. Could be a piece of art, could be this big functional bubbler that's been used for any number of other purposes. The fact that people may use these things to smoke marijuana, and that might be the 99.9% use of it, is not a 100% use of it. Until a crime has been committed with it, it's just a piece of glass. There's no reason to be locking someone up, ruining their lives, taking away their livelihood, destroying their business because of what you think the people that are selling to might do with the items that they are selling. It just goes to show you how absurd and how Dada-esque our entire drug war has turned our social policies in this country and made crimes out of things that aren't crimes. You know, when they ship in some of that foreign glass. You need to get that cheap-ass glass comes across. You know how some of those get through customs? I actually got to speak with one of the leading paraphernalia attorneys in America who said, if it's a piece of glass with holes in it and you ship that with the carb, then it's paraphernalia. But if you don't punch the carb in it and you put a string through it, it's a necklace and you can get it through customs.
Well, let's smoke out of some necklaces.
That sounds like a good idea. We'll be right back after this break with Peg Leg live in the studio.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Did you know there are more tokers than Texans? Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville, host of Normal Show Live. It's true, there are more adults who will consume cannabis in America this year than the population of Texas. This and thousands of other statistics and polls are part of my new book, Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts, including 19 full-color poster-sized infographics of cannabis data.
A entirely legitimate topic for debate.
If we're going to have that debate, we need the facts. But Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts isn't just some listing of statistics and tables. It's truly a big book, a huge weatherproof binder that becomes its own 12x18 presentation easel. The colorful charts are jam-packed with facts that draw interest, and the explanatory text is all rigorously researched from reputable sources. You can make the case against prohibition with the government's own numbers. You can learn more about Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts by visiting stash.normal.org/bigbook. Pre-orders are available, and shipping begins September 1st, 2011. That's stash.normal.org/bigbook.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We can.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, today we get a treat. I love it when we have live guests in the studio, especially live musical guests. We are joined by Peg Leg.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
Well, I should say welcome back. You've been on the show before.
Yes, I have. Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to be back. What up, Radical Russ, Ganja John?
Having a good time. Hey, let's pan that camera down just a little bit. Get your head down there and we can see you a little better.
Pan that for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
There we go. We're recording this on the live cam as well there.
Nice.
Yeah, just keep going down there. Keep going.
There you go.
There you go. Get him in a frame. All right, looking good. But Peg Leg, you were away for a while,
and now
you're back in the Pac Northwest. Tell us all about it.
All right. I was back on the East Coast handling some personal family issues for about 2-3 years. I've been coming back every couple months to handle business. I'm signed to Taxidermy Records here in Portland, Oregon, recording, handling, upcoming shows and negotiating different business things. But as of the last 10 days, I'm back in the Northwest. I'm performing at the Fire in the Canyon Festival. It's this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's over 80 acts performing.
Oh, yeah.
Headlining Del the Funky Homo Sapien, The Far Side with a live band, Sleep from Old Dominion, Bus Driver. I mean, the list goes on and on. Go to fireinthecanyon.com. It's an amazing lineup. I'm playing the main stage myself Sunday. It's the third day around, I think it's 1 or 1:30.
Yeah.
Most artists have about a 20-minute slot, so, you got to come in, check everybody out. There's a lot of amazing acts from the Northwest and all over, national acts coming through. So, I'm really, respectful that I was able to even be a part of this event, just coming back into town. But it's going to be something awesome. So, come on down to Fire in the Canyon. It's going to be a blast.
So you've signed on with this this record label, and you got any new stuff coming out?
I got a new Peg Leg album's coming out in the next couple months. It's called Slack Tide. And then I have an alias project. It's called Benjamin Matthews, and that's the new thing that everybody needs to be looking out for. It's going to be my new Northwest persona that I'm going to take on. It's going to kind of help me get outside the box of Peg Leg, not to talk in multiple personalities or anything. Insane as an artist, but it is kind of like that when you, you create an identity as an artist and you release several projects under that name. People get used to like a certain sound and a certain style coming from you, and sometimes to kind of come at it a different way is fun. So I've been working on the Benjamin Matthews project for about a year. That's a playoff of my name, which is Greg Matthew Benjamin, flipping it the other way.
Right on.
So look out for that. And we're really excited about that.
I think of all sorts of hip hop acts though that do something similar. If you think, maybe not with different albums, but at least personas that they portray in their music. You can go to Eminem, Marshall Mathers, Slim Bobby. Shady, or go to like say Digital Underground with MC Blowfish and the Piano Man and Humpty Hump and Shock G all being the same guy.
It.
You know,
it's kind of something that I think all rappers or MCs, we all kind of do that. We kind of have different aliases, and you'll kind of get a lot of that. You'll be like Method Man, aka DeKal, Italian Stallion,
Machiavelli, all that kind of stuff.
It's kind of like a thing, because you kind of have to. Part of being an MC, master of ceremony, is the ability to get in front of a group of people and control an environment. So you have to have a kind of a confidence, and when you start having that confidence, you kind of, I think, start creating different characters almost to kind of help emulate that image or control that you're trying to have on the group of people that you're performing in front of, and to make it more creative and fun too. So
right on.
Yeah.
So you talked about the label. How about is there a website for the label and for you particularly?
TaxidermyRecords.com. Great roster of artists. There's a web store. If you look on CDBaby.com, you can find my first two albums, which is Saving Face and Standardized Tests. The easiest way to find that is going to freepoets.com, which is, don't like saying that too much. It is my older stuff. I used to be the front guy of Science Nonfiction once upon a time. But yeah, there's two older things at freepoets.com, and the new stuff is available at taxidermyrecords.com and on iTunes. Peg Leg, all three albums are available on iTunes. So,
right on.
Support your guy, buy him lunch, help a guy out.
Yeah. So Peg Leg, what made you want to come back to the Pacific Northwest?
It's great. I've been a medical card holder for 5 years. I'm really into the laws out here in Oregon, just recognizing cannabis as being a medicine and something that people need every day in their life, like food or water. I mean, that's how I look at it. It's my medicine. It helps me in a lot of different ways. But that was one of the main reasons. There not being any sales tax out here is another perk. I was on the East Coast, I think, where sales tax was like 9% or something like that. So it does add up really quickly. It's just a beautiful place to people. There's a great diverse group of people as far as ethnicity coming, people from all around the world, opposed to where I was in the Bible Belt, where there's just kind of one kind of person and, one mentality, one religion, and after a while it kind of starts to get cabin fever even in an entire city.
Sure.
So, Portland's not like that. We're very welcoming here, and, I call Portland home, and if someone asks me where I'm from, it's a
It's Portland for sure.
Right on. Now, did you get your start in music here in Portland, or how did you get your start?
All right. Well, originally I'm from New Jersey, and then I grew up in Florida, high school, and probably around 18, 19, after memorizing all of Wu-Tang's lyrics and never really thinking about writing a verse and just being involved in hip-hop culture as far as being aware of who was coming out with new music and knowing everybody's stuff and showing people that weren't familiar with, you know, because at the time hip-hop wasn't mainstream. There wasn't videos and, you know, it wasn't this, you know, machine on the radio that I felt like I was one of those people making mix CDs and tapes for people at the time. And I found myself making music around 1999, and I went to a school called Full Sail. And I have a degree in film and video production, and half of my degree program is the same as the audio program. And I met a lot of other kids that were making music and had already releasing records. So by the time I graduated, I knew 20, 30 producers that had been making music for 10 years prior to even going to school. And I created a group called Science Nonfiction in 2001. We started touring really hard in the Southeast, 2001, 2002. By 2003, we were on Van's Warped Tour, opened up for Common Sense, and started touring nationally. And then I met an artist by the name of Sleep Old Dominion. Sleep's part of a crew called Old Dominion. They're a Northwest staple out here. There's like 30 members within the group. There's a bunch of other groups and crews, like Grayskull out of Seattle. They're on Rhymesayers, which is Atmosphere's label. And there's a lot of... you know, just networking, and these guys are professionals that have been doing this, and I met them when I was, you know, my younger 20s, and, you know, Sleep was just, like, telling me about Portland and how it was, like, this mecca for music and how it was really diverse, and you could kind of be any kind of person out here and not feel like you're being, like, stared at. And at the time, my music was more alternative and less traditional hip-hop. Mm-hmm. So I made the move out here in 2005, started touring with Sleep and Josh Martinez and some of the other Camo Bear Records guys, and It worked really well for me, and I stayed out here and became solo as Peg Leg, and then eventually signed with Taxidermy Records when it started up, and the rest is history.
Right on. Well, I think when people outside of the area think of the Pacific Northwest and think music, they'll think Seattle and grunge,
right?
And with Portland, maybe they think, you know, jam bands or reggae or something like that,
right?
Is there a burgeoning Portland hip hop scene?
I think it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that if you're not paying attention to the genre or involved within it or already a fan, it could almost go by you and you wouldn't even know, because it's not something that's really publicized. It's not heavily promoted outside of the areas where the people that are already into it would follow it. You know, it's like the fans of these groups know to go to those certain record stores to look for the flyers. They look for the invites on the social networks. So it's really going on. I mean, most of the artists that I work with that are on my record label, that are on some of the other local labels, they all sell out shows. They all have, you know, 150, 200, 300 people come out to shows, and, you know, they're not starving artists really at this point. They're really working hard and working hard in their craft. Most of them tour outside of the United States as well, and, you know, it's a grind for sure. So yeah, definitely Portland, Oregon's on the map as part of the Northwest, Seattle as well. The whole Northwest has a really good sound that's fresh and open-minded and different and strong. And
Well, you know, and speaking of that, you know, I'm probably one of those guys. I'm about ankle-deep in hip-hop as far as my depth of understanding. John and Cleco way more in-depth with it than I am. But when I think of regional differences in hip-hop, of course, East Coast versus West Coast, and I also think of Dirty South kind of thing going on. As far as the Pacific Northwest hip-hop sound, how would it differ? Are there elements of it that's different than those other areas?
Okay, well, the whole East Coast, West Coast thing is pretty much like mainstream created beef for marketing purposes on a major level, which is old. I mean, that whole
The sound, though.
I'm getting to that. It's just that there was always a stereotype that East Coast music was really rough and hard, and West Coast music was like laid back. Like, hence, you have your Wu-Tang and your Mobb Deep, and you have your Dr. Dre. Your West Coast sounds. But in reality, you have both going. You know, you have really light, fun, you know, upbeat music that comes out of the East Coast, and you have really hard, scary music that comes out of the West Coast. So it really depends on the artist you listen to, is really kind of. But I think the way Portland stands out is that the content in Portland seems to me is really open-minded, and I find that most of the artists out here kind of step outside the box, whether it be creating a different persona or, you know, just approaching material in a different way. It doesn't sound kind of where in my opinion, where you can listen to a lot of hip hop and kind of get confused by the artist, where each kind of person sounds the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar.
Well, that's what I liked about, you know, playing your tunes here on the Stash is, like, for example, just pick one song out of the mix here, you know, Pickle My Bones, and I put that tune on and I'm hearing, you know, what is that, a mandolin or ukulele, something like that? Like a sea chanty kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is not like anything I've heard before, man. This is great.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. Yeah, definitely try to, you know, keep the production tip top and add some elements that are, you know, a little bit different, you know, as best as I can.
Well, that's cool. Well, let's, I got an idea here. We got this wonderful board. We got all these microphones and headphones, and you got something you can lay out
us
here?
Yeah, you're talking about Pickle My Bones. If everybody's cool with it, we could maybe try to run through the track live or most of it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Know,
all right.
Down. All right, let's do
that.
Do
we need to take a break to set anything up, or are you just good to go?
Yeah, I'm pretty good to go.
Far out.
Well, sip this
all right.
Tea and let's roll.
Peg Leg live with Pickle My Bones.
I'm frustrated, and I had to get off the couch and head towards the city and see who's out and about, because I can't always sit around and just blaze this funk. So I'm heating you all up, you're down to get manipulated from this idiot box. And also reality TV makes me feel like my brain's gonna rot. I can't sit around this apartment and just smoke all this pot when I got homies on the block that are down to take some shots. I'm just kidding, and you know it's all love. Here's a hug and cheers, now everybody bottoms up. I'm getting bent, I'm tipping over 50%. That nice guy who helps these bartenders pay their rent. But after an hour's passed, these cats are trash, and if Bonnery's there making jokes, I can't help but laugh. It's so funny the way this dude cracks jokes. I'm so drunk I keep on forgetting Zeb's smoke.
So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and put a bottle of booze by my head and my feet, so then I know that my bones will keep. So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and put a bottle of booze by my head and my feet, so then I know that my bones will keep.
Well, it was too close for comfort, but I finally made it home. I was wasted and alone with my keys and my cell phone. Missed calls from my girl, I know that she cares. Right now I'm working on trying to get up these stairs, cause everything is spinning, taking it one step at a time. I'm happy the police didn't ask me to walk a straight line. I'm tripping over shit just trying to get through the door. I gotta find my bed before I end up on the floor. By morning I'm praying to a porcelain goddess. I gotta beg police because I swear that I promise that I'll stop drinking before I ever go out, because I'd rather take blown hits and just black out. It goes concentrated hits mixed with alcohol. It never works. I go berserk and just spit a verse at random. And that's the way it goes, playing that fire in the canyon, chilling with Ganja John and Radical Russ.
So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and put a ball of booze in my head and my feet, so then I know that my bones will keep. So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and put a ball of booze in my head and my feet, so then I know that my bones will keep.
Well, if it's after hours, I could use a cold shower. I'm looking for a designated drive-thru to devour. I gotta get some food in this stomach real quick before I'm laying in the fetal position sick. I should've taken sleeps off with the designated driver. I couldn't be any drunker, I couldn't be any higher. Was that a cop? Did I just run a red light? I can't get pulled over for a search tonight. My car is not registered, I live in a different state. When you're wasted, it's hard to concentrate on driving straight. The way that I look at it, they got probable cause to search my ride and find what I'm trying to hide. And if they look into my eyes, then they'll know that I'm high. And there's no way they're gonna let me slide by. There's no way a pirate goes down with his ship, even if it means he has to abandon it. So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and maybe take some bong hits. I'll meet you at my house, we can chill and just split a half an ounce. That's the way it goes down. Chill with Radical Russ and Ganja John. PHX, oil hits from my bong. That's what I said before. Not going on tour, just taking some more bong hits so I can't take any more.
So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and put a ball of booze by my head and my feet, so then I know that my bones will keep. So when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol and put a ball of booze by my head and my feet, so then I know that my bones will keep.
So when I die, don't bury me at all. I prefer a concentrate hits, y'all. I'd rather smoke some weed than ever start to drink. And that's what you should do if you actually start to think. Because the ganja, I swear, it can save the world. You can chill with your friends or just hang out with your girl in your living room. Puff, puff, pass. That's the way that it goes until we laugh. See ya, yo.
I love it.
That is badass.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Yo, yo. Peg Leg, Taxidermy Records.
Studio's going nuts for you, man.
Yay, yay.
Taxidermy Records, Peg Leg with Pickle My Bones live here at Normal Show
Check
Live.
Check me out. Greg Peg Leg Rosen on the Facebook. Find me. Befriend me.
Be friends. Like him.
Like him.
He desperately wants to be
comment
liked.
Comment on me.
Thank you so much,
thank
Peg Leg.
You.
And remind folks about the Fire in the Mountain, Fire in the Canyon.
Fire in the Canyon.
Yeah.
It's a great festival. It's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Over 70 acts. Really, you need to go to the website, fireandcanyon.com, and check out the lineup. But the headliners are Del the Funky Homo Sapien with the live band, Farside with the live band, and Diggable Planets. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. It's a huge lineup, so check it out.
But, I'm actually thinking Del the Funky Homo Sapiens when I want to catch out.
Yeah, yeah. You want to check out Del for
I
sure.
I like Del, man. Didn't he work with Gorillaz, too, right?
Yep,
he did the
he,
stuff
yep.
in Gorillaz.
Girls and Mischief, too. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, pinnacle hip-hop icon.
Right on. And sure. Just right outside of town, this is fantastic. Fire in the Canyon.
Hornings Hideout.
Right.
Yeah, legendary
right.
Hornings Hideout.
That's right.
So.
Fireinthecanyon.com?
Yep, that's it.
All right, check it out. Peg Leg, Greg Rosen, thank you so much for coming in here live and giving us some wonderful live tunes. That's awesome.
Oh, cool. Happy you guys enjoyed it.
Oh, we loved it.
Time to puff.
All right,
peace.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be on our Southern California scene with Terry Joyce. Eric Matuzik joins us to fill us in on the latest in the Starbuds Collective case. We'll be right back after this.
That work?
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Loose lips cause rips. Never brag about your home grow, even if you're a legal medical grower.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Weed.
That's Hoobie Valley, Hoobie Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Everybody who comes on our show is lovely and talented, but none so much as Terry Joyce. Terry, how you doing?
Oh, that's really nice.
Oh,
thank you.
So.
I've been great.
It's been a while since we spoke to you, so it's good to have you back on the show. And I think one of the last times that we got together and talked, we were talking about today's guest. But before we get to the guest, let's talk about you a little bit. What's been happening in the past few weeks with Terry Joyce?
Well, you know, I've just been doing the radio show, and just want to welcome our listeners to check out Hollywood Hempers Hour on newdissonantradio.com, as well as we replay on the Normal Network. And just planning on going to Seattle Hemp Fest.
Oh, you're going to be up in Hemp Fest this year.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I got to interview the guys from Hemp Fest on the Hollywood Hempers Hour show, so that was really fun.
Awesome.
Anybody want to listen and check it out in the archives? It's interesting. It almost didn't happen this year.
Right. They had to sue and everything. But now, after all that, they get 3 days instead of two. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, this will be on the Hollywood Hemptress Hour airing tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific here on the Normal Network.
Yes, I interviewed, you know, DJ Kuti from the Patient Advocacy Network has been on your show, on this, our segment here, a while back. And so she's being interviewed. She's going to actually co-host with me a little bit.
Oh, good.
Which is really good. And we're working on a few different, we're going to be doing some, we're putting together some street theater performances that for activism. You know, instead of like doing the regular speech rally with a bullhorn, we're going to have street performers get the message across to people.
All right. Well, you know, get attention any way you can on this issue is a good thing. And I think we need to have some new creative ways of doing it, because I think maybe people's ears have grown accustomed to hearing the strident speeches and the bullhorns and all that. And maybe some theater will turn their heads.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, people just kind of tune it out, kind of like advertising on the internet.
Sure.
You know, we go blind with it. So maybe just experimenting and seeing what it would be like to just do something different. And we might, it will be maybe just like just speech rallies, but we're also talking about, you know, just going out like on Venice Beach, or, you know, even it, like, it's guerrilla theater. It's, you know, hey, we're going to be at this location and we'll just be out doing our thing.
Right on. Well, let's bring your guest on here, because this has been an ongoing saga that we've been covering here in this segment. So I'll just let you take it from there.
Yeah, you know, we had Eric Matusik on last time, and as you know, he was sent to jail. I mean, well, basically, he was raided by the police after he was in litigation, and they were asked not to do it. And an undercover cop came in, and you know, had a recommendation, showed it to him, made a donation towards the medicine, and then 2 weeks later, he was raided and arrested and cited for not being registered.
Yeah,
he wanted to go to trial. In front of a jury of his peers, and you know, the judge postponed it a couple of times, and then finally said, "You don't have enough evidence to warrant a trial by a jury of your peers," which is basically unconstitutional. Now they're appealing it, but in the process, you know, they went towards the landlord, asking them to, under the crack house law, asking him to be evicted, to evict him, and the landlord refused, and so they took over. They evicted him. He closed the store down, and then it was raided on top of that after he closed it, and they took his iguana, and he shut down now, and now he can tell you the rest of the story, but they're giving him some bad press, and you know, it's just going on and on. So he wanted to at least get his voice out here and heard, his story in whatever medium that he could possibly get, because it really kind of appears that mainstream media just really isn't in our favor.
Right.
You know, they do stories according to how they see it. And so I want to introduce Eric Matusik to the show.
Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, you know.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, every time before we get too deep into it, you know, the initial premise of how they bust you every time, because I've done this story in numerous states before, where the cops go undercover, they get a real recommendation under a fake name, but they get a real driver's license, you know, so you, as the guy who's checking them, it's like, okay, here's the recommendation paper, it looks valid, here's their ID, this looks valid, I'm following the law. I mean, the way they're running this, if they're going to call it a sting, would be like running an underage sting to catch, you know, people that are selling beer to kids, but giving the kids
right.
an ID that says they're 25.
Exactly. Yeah, no, or you could even call it entrapment.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, that's a good subject to talk about, because, you know, to obtain a medical recommendation, if you falsify information, the penalty is jail and fines and so forth. So, you know, right there, they're already breaking the law.
No, that's if you do it. Cops are allowed to lie, you see.
Well, of course, they're allowed to do anything.
Yeah.
They don't have to abide, you know, follow the laws and the rules and, you know, set forth by the people, but of course not. You know, as I'm living it right now, absolutely. But, you know, that's a great topic of the subject is the point that the undercover officer came in with a valid medical recommendation, and then, of course, we verified online or called the doctor and make sure it is a valid recommendation, and once it checks through, then the patient's allowed in the back, and then they do their donation for their medicine. And so this is exactly the procedure that went forth in this situation. And now, as soon as that officer hands you a $20 bill or whatever the denomination was, that is considered an over-the-counter illegal sale. they don't consider it a donation because it's an undercover officer. So that is the whole basis of this whole story. So in other words, that means in their eyes, every single collective across the country is doing it illegally. Because the minute there's a money transaction, they're claiming that's an illegal drug sale,
right?
Which is ludicrous. It's a, I mean, and even states in the laws that we're allowed to accept monetary donation, it's worded exactly like that. So that's what it is. It's a monetary donation. But they can go ahead and single any collective they want and just, you know, target them and go in and say, you know what, we're going to close this one down. Let's send an undercover in. We'll hand some money. The minute there's a money transaction, boom, it's an illegal drug deal.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's ludicrous.
It is. And it's frustrating from a point of view here of that, you know, it kind of just shows that it's not the plant. It's not the smoking of the weed they got a problem with. It's the making the money from it they got a problem with.
Yeah,
they got to protect their own interests, just like drug dealers protecting their turf. They got to, you know, protect dollar here, because in both sides, not just medical. You know, in medical, the Obama administration's always saying we're not going to go after people that are, you know, sick or their caregivers, but if they're you know, supplying those people and getting money for it, well, then we'll go after them. And then you get the drug czar saying, well, we don't really lock up casual users, but we go after big traffickers. So again, they just keep showing us that it's the money problem they've got a problem with, not the drug problem.
Exactly. And the interesting part of that is that I, as most, I hope, all collectives are doing, I pay quarterly taxes just like any other business
does.
So I'm paying sales tax. So how is this an oxymoron? How is it that I'm paying sales tax, but yet they're telling me I'm illegally selling it? And Measure M just passed, which is a specific sales tax directed to just medical marijuana. So how can you possibly illegally sell marijuana if that's the case, if I'm paying sales tax?
Right.
Again, you know, what are we doing here? They're targeting whoever they want to target. That's
right.
The bottom line.
Well, it's the same kind of idiocy that bore this this prohibition with the Marijuana Tax Act, when they said, okay, if you're going to have marijuana, you have to get a tax stamp for it. But if you bring in the marijuana without a tax stamp to get your tax stamp, then you're breaking the law. And we're not going to give you a stamp.
Exactly.
What's also interesting is that the Federal Commerce Clause was narrowly interpreted at that time. At the same, and in 1937, they gave it the broad interpretation, which that's another reason why we're not allowed to have marijuana, or they feel that they can control it because of the Federal Commerce Clause and the transportation of it, and the, you know, that includes that they own the Indian casinos and everything else. They even own trade of our own crops, not done just marijuana. Anything that's trafficked. And so they use that as an excuse. Well, and I find that interesting because, like, Senator Barney Frank and Ron Paul's bill that they took to Congress, they specifically state that, like, well, we're not saying that you can't use it, but the transporting and the growing of it will still be illegal underneath federal law.
Yeah, if it falls out of the sky from the weed fairy, you can have it.
Right,
exactly.
Or if it's made by Big Pharma, you're going to be able to have
it,
basically, is what I feel it is what we're being set up for.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Now, Eric, as far as the case goes right now, at what stage are you? What's the next step? What's happening?
Well, here's the deal. There's so many different avenues of the story. But currently, I had to close down because they went forward with the eviction. Let me back up real quick and just give a real quick recap. So the undercover comes in, makes the sale, and calls an over-the-counter illegal sale. They take me to jail. They release me from jail. I end up with a ticket, a citation that says failure to register doesn't say anything about over-the-counter illegal sales. So they go forward months later with this eviction, but the eviction is based on the illegal drug sale that I supposedly made, but I wasn't cited with that. I was cited with failure to register. So they went forward with the eviction, and I tried to appeal it, and I was denied a trial on the basis of the judge claims that I personally do not have enough evidence worthy of going to trial. Now, why is it, how do they determine that I don't have enough evidence? Constitutional right says I'm supposed to have a fair trial of my peers. It never says that if you have evidence or not. I mean, that's, you know, another ridiculous avenue. So they go forward with the eviction based on the illegal drug sale that I was never charged with. So they end up getting, so I get the paperwork and I comply and I shut down on July 24th, Sunday. They came in 3 days later on Wednesday with the sheriff's department and a locksmith and LAPD, and they blew open the locks, went in the store, and re-raided it. They confiscated everything inside the store, and so we have an appeal going on with the appellate court system, which was already filed weeks ago. And so here I'm, you know, the place is shut down, the collective is shut down, they re-raided, they took everything again. So I'm sitting in limbo waiting to hear something at whether they're going to allow me my fair trial in the appellate court system. Wow. And I just want to say, too, there was a press release sent out on Thursday right after their second raid, and it states in there, you know, illegal drug activities is the reason for the eviction, which, you know, all the public is thinking now, oh, he must have been selling cocaine or, you know, heroin or LSD out the back door.
Sure.
And, you know, and matter of fact, I've had friends and neighbors come up to me and ask me exactly that and say, right. Wow, what were you selling out of there? And I'm like, no. And this is just another way for them to, you know, blindside the public and to think that we're all illegal drug dealers,
right.
You know, and we're doing something horrible and wrong. And it says in the media, it says that Matushik was, we tried to get a hold of Eric Matushik several times for his side of the story. Total lie. Nobody's ever contacted. As a matter of fact, I've been contacting the press trying to tell my side of the story. They don't want to hear it. They won't publish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so, of course, it's a typical tactic that they use in, whenever we're talking about a case that involves cannabis, we got to make sure we use the word drugs. Because people aren't afraid of cannabis, but they're afraid of drugs.
You are so right. And like I said, they're just blinding the public. You know, one of the girls that worked at the collective, her mother read the story and said, oh, my God, what was he selling out of there? And, you know, she got a big fight with her mother trying to explain to her mother that's not true what they wrote. And her mother's like, well, they published it. It's got to be true.
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, and you'll notice, too, when there are cases of people that are caught with other drugs like coke, meth, or heroin, they'll say coke, meth, or heroin. They'll tell you exactly how much coke, meth, or heroin they picked up. But if it's just weed in these situations, very rarely do they say there was a major cannabis or a major marijuana bust. It's usually drug bust, drug seller.
Exactly. Yes. And that's manipulating the public mind.
Right. And so now, you know, even if you are successful in putting together a jury trial, now you've got a jury of your peers who've been fed this misinformation through the media.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting, and it's even more disgusting knowing that it's happening in California, that you folks have had this now 15 years. This is the 15th year as of November that you had medical marijuana. An entire generation of Californians have grown up with legal medical rights, and yet still these small-minded prosecutors, you know, feel they've got to enforce the letter of federal law here and try to destroy your business, destroy your reputation. It's just a travesty, and it needs to stop.
Well, also, you know, our businesses are suffering. You know, our economy's not great here, and yet they're Mickey Mousing around getting paid to basically harass us. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. I mean, what is? You know, I saw a video recently by a guy named Graham Hancock, and his analogy of what reason why he believes that marijuana is so illegal. It's not so much about, like, it's none of this. He believes it's because it awakens our consciousness, and we begin to become aware of things, and we start to question our government.
Yeah.
Basically, it's summing up in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And that's the true reason why they're wanting to make it illegal.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan's son, Ron Reagan Jr., once said something to the effect of, it's not marijuana, the psychotropic weed that they fear, it's marijuana, the opener of the consciousness, the, you know, the questioner of authority that they fear. So I think you're on the right track there. We are just about running out of time, so I want to make sure that everybody gets information out as far as websites. So let's start with Eric. Is there any way, if people want to contact you, help you out, donate to Legal Defense Fund, find more?
Absolutely. We are we're setting up a website currently as we speak. Should be up in the next few days. It's going to be www.starbuds.net.
Starbuds.net.
All the information.
Okay, starbuds.net. And Terry Joyce on New Dissident Radio, Hollywood Hemptress Hour. Any performances coming up? Websites?
HollywoodHemptressHour.com. Come and subscribe. Be a part of it. check it out.
All right. Thank you so much, Terry Joyce, for our Southern California scene. That's all for those of you listening on the podcast. For those of you listening live, stay tuned for hour two. We're going to hang out with Peg Leg and Damon and Coleco and John here in the studio. Have ourselves a good time. So for Wiz Coleco, Ganja John, and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.